Welcome back to Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook, night number 783,500. Day number eight.
Very late.
David, come on. This is early. We're going to be later than this as the week goes on.
Oh, I know. Yeah, what riveting television at 1:30 in the morning watching the referees watch television in a game that is completely decided.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs. Got John Sleek, Rocco Miller back with us as well. This is the podcast where we review all the conference tournament action, preview upcoming games, do a few other things. We like to start with some news and notes, and we have a little bit of news and notes today. Some injury news and notes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. First of all, a couple guys that are out. Marquise Bolden for Duke, out for the ACC tournament, and LeGerald Vick for Kansas, out for the season. He's gone, and Rocco, if Kansas wasn't struggling already, that's another huge blow.
It is. It is. Unfortunate news. We thought it might be a possibility. Now we know for sure it's happening, and you know, the Kansas is playing in Kansas City. We know they don't like to go too far away from home this year. So can't count them all the way out, but it's an uphill battle, I'd say.
Yeah. The good news in terms of players coming back, though, for Texas, Kerwin Roach, Caleb Wesson for Ohio State, Nick Ward for Michigan State, and Killian Tilly played tonight for Gonzaga. So four players that are back in should all be helping their teams.
And without them, they may have only won by about 30. Or whatever. I think they got it down to the 20s by the time it was over.
David, how's life in the puppet bunker?
It sucks, Chad.
Okay. Did you get food this week?
No, I didn't. Well, yeah, I mean, none other than those rations.
Right. See, David, if you invest in the bracket bunker like I do, I have a little hole where I can siphon some rations here during the week.
Yeah, John, you look like you're actually in a bunker.
He is in a bunker, isn't he?
And I'm in the bid thief command center, so just keep an eye on the bid thieves.
I thought that was Rocco's gym right there.
It's about a block away.
John, seriously, you look like you're in a closet.
I'll tell you what, let's get right into the brackets, and let's start with the number one most important game that was played today. And, of course, I am talking about the final game for the Savannah State Tigers ever in the MEAC tournament, at least at the D1 level. David, huge upset of the MEAC.
Yeah, it was a big upset, and you wish that the storyline was that it was a big upset, but there's so much to it than that. It's a very quiet, very sad ending to a rather sad story. And perhaps one of the saddest things is that no one really cared or cried once it was over. A year ago, Savannah State was one of the best teams in the conference all the way down to the last week of the season. They were right in there. This was despite the beginning of that athletic year, learning that they were going down to Division II for bogus reasons. And I think that we all know about that. We might discuss that more a little bit later, but I know we got to get moving tonight, and it's done. That's it. They had a pretty good season considering all of the personnel and support staff and administrators that left and what they had for a team. It's amazing they were able to even finish sixth, but it's over now. They are not Division I anymore, and that's really unfair.
Yeah, upset to a Delaware State team that was one of the worst teams in the entire nation. But getting back to the actual games, though, Rocco, we do have the other two first-round games coming up here Tuesday. Maryland Eastern Shore against South Carolina State and Coppin State against Morgan State. Is there anything to look forward to in either of these games, other than maybe Morgan State's head coach there?
You know, I honestly think Maryland Eastern Shore actually finished on a high note. I think they got a home win to wrap up the year, and there hasn't been a lot of high notes for them throughout the year. And then Coppin State, of course, is coached by Juan Dixon, so that's always intriguing to see how his team will come out. I don't see the winners of those moving on past the quarters.
Yeah. It's still hard for me to imagine Coppin State without Fang Mitchell on the bench, though.
Yeah, a legend, a true legend. You're right.
Yeah, he is. I think Delaware State's going to win it all. It's the MEAC, of course.
Why not? Why not? Yeah. I've got to look. I'm kind of leaning towards that Bethune-Cookman team getting their first ever bid. They've been pretty good the last few years, and why not? Yeah. Let's move on to some bids that were handed out tonight. And in the maybe. There it is. In the Southern Conference, the championship game, Stalico, we were talking about the, you know, was this going to be a multi-bid conference or not? Well, Wofford, Greensboro gave them a game for most of the game, but at the end they put it together like a, something like a 25-2 run and just rolled it.
It was 35 minutes that UNC Greensboro was able to hang into the game. And just as I was leaving work tonight, I'm thinking, oh, we may actually have a decent shot at the two-bid SoCon. And sure enough, Wofford actually blows the game open, and it's a deceptively big 12-point victory for Wofford. But this is not going to be a moral victory for Greensboro. I can say that much.
I think the score at one point was 55-49 Greensboro, and then Wofford just, 21-3 run.
Yeah. And again, now, Rocco, here's the question. Any shot now, realistic shot for Greensboro or Furman in the at-large consideration, or is it just – a little bit, not quite enough.
I think it's probably not quite enough. If anything, I actually think Greensboro's just got a slightly better hope because they were able to not take any of the bad losses. They've got they got 14 wins away from Greensboro. That really stands out compared to the rest of the bubble. They also have a winning record against top three quadrants. So there are some bracketologists out there, very respected bracketologists
was the wrong screen. I apologize. Go ahead.
No problem. But I was just saying, yeah, there's some respected bracketologists that had them in today. I had them just the second team out. I think they'll stay in the conversation very late in the deliberations, but ultimately I think they do fall short, sadly. Mm-hmm.
David, one other championship game that was not even as exciting as this one was, it was actually a complete snoozer in the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, this was all the way – well, you know, the opening round was amazing. Quarterfinals, pretty good, not as good as the opening round. Semifinals were okay, and the championship game was lousy. Like, this was completely backwards from what you would hope for in most tournaments that sort of build as it goes on. Iona, I think, was up 20 points at the tip and just never looked back.
But congratulations, Tim Kloos, 4 consecutive NCAA tournaments now with this Iona team.
I think he's 12. Well, yeah, he's won the last 12 tournament games. So
yep.
And it seems like every year he beats like the 9, the 5, and the 6. So he did it again.
True.
Maybe not in that order, though, every year. Yeah, but the 9, the 5, and the 6.
But it usually starts with the 5, right?
Yeah, it usually starts with the 5. The 9 comes after there's an upset in the quarterfinals. But Iona, congratulations in the NCAA tournament. Wofford is locked in as well. That was it for the championships. Let's take a look at some of the other conference tournament action. And Stalica, you're our Ohio guy, so it was first round day in the Mid-American Conference, a conference that has given us some great games, great rivalries. We had 4 games today. I was so excited, and what the hell happened?
Yeah, the game I thought was going to be a pick'em certainly did not start out that way, with Akron blowing out to a 20-point lead early on. Central Michigan, they were playing like one of the hottest teams, and former Xavier player Larry Austin Jr. led the way for the Chippewas in that one, but Ball State, not OU, was the team that actually got the seeding upset here.
Yeah, nice road win for Ball State. But every game, even that game, was not really close. David, a couple days off before they go to Cleveland for the quarterfinal round now.
Yeah.
Do you see any upsets coming on Thursday?
Not really. No. I mean, I'm sure we'll see one. But honestly, the one that might be the most ripe is Buffalo, simply because Akron is probably deceptively better than 8th, and Buffalo is in whether they win this tournament or not. But even with that, I mean, they don't – like Nate Oates doesn't want to just win. He wants to clobber everyone, and that's what they've been doing. So
now what else is odd about this tournament is that Buffalo could be playing 2 virtual road games with Akron and Kent State back-to-back, but by the same token, that has not bothered the Bulls at all the past month and a half.
Yeah, I don't think they care, and it isn't. The atmosphere might be against them a little bit, but it's not the same as going to a campus arena.
And it's not that far from Buffalo to Cleveland. I think they'll get people there for –
oh, yeah. Like, Buffalo's pretty jacked. I mean, you look at the city of Buffalo, they don't really win much of anything. I think they're really starting to get behind this team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rocco. They've had a lot of sellouts this year.
Yeah.
Rocco, we had a hell of a day today in the Colonial. A pair of semifinal games that were just amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, it looked like Hofstra was in fairly good shape, and then Delaware, you know, came out of nowhere and came back, and you know, Hofstra had to hang on in that last minute. That was a heck of a finish.
Was that the overtime game?
Yep. Yeah, it was overtime. You're right. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a crazy game. We saw round three between Northeastern and College of Charleston. Of course, I was at round one, which was the only blowout. This one was another classic. The last time they were down in Charleston, it went to overtime. So, Northeastern, kudos to them for pulling it out. I think they have a really well-balanced team, basically winning a road game, even though they're on the other side of Charleston and in that arena. But we got ourselves set up for a classic, and I actually think the two seed will be favored in Vegas.
I like the two seed. I think Northeastern wins this game. And we may not have as good of a game tomorrow as we've had. I mean, Hofstra just hasn't looked good this whole tournament. They've picked up two wins against teams that they should have rolled.
Yeah. I'm excited for this game tomorrow. It's a great setup, and it's going to be played in front of about 50 people. You just kind of hate that they can't figure out a better way to structure this.
Really? So a team from Long Island versus a team from Boston in Charleston, South Carolina. You don't think there's going to be a big fan turnout, David?
No, I checked. There are plenty of good seats available.
Salika, semifinal day today, also in the Summit League, where we had couple more really good games.
I think one of the more statistical oddities would be if you told me earlier tonight that Omaha would hit a three-point shot to go ahead 61-60 with a 3:21 left and not score the rest of the way. I would have thought, uh-oh, Fort Wayne is going to be on the doorstep for their first NCAA tournament bid, but they never got over the hump either. They did not score the last 3:40 of that game.
Yeah, it was one of the most exciting 3 minutes where no points were scored in the history of college basketball. I mean, it was just we saw a jump ball because the ball got wedged between the rim and the backboard.
And it would have been neat to see John Conchar in the NCAA tournament, Rocco, especially since we weren't going to get Mike down. Now we're not going to get him either. But, you know, Omaha, North Dakota State tomorrow. What do you think?
Well, you know, Omaha has a really good player as well. Zach Jackson's had a great year. But they're a little bit more balanced from a scoring standpoint. I'm with you there. Omaha, you know, they've been on fire. You know, just looking at their overall results, it looks like they've won either 9 of their last 10 or 10 of their last 11. And the two times they met North Dakota State, they beat them handily. Of course, North Dakota State, like we actually talked about these two teams during the first preview, being about equal distance to Sioux Falls. But like we've all agreed on, North Dakota State should have a bigger fan turnout. But it sounds to me like Omaha is just a higher class basketball team. I expect them to win.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that Western Illinois gave North Dakota State such a tough game today. But
right, and this is how you grow your fan base. Omaha hasn't been in Division One very long. The most recent example, and it is kind of an extreme one, Northern Kentucky was. Stalika can attest to this. What it was like going before they made that first tournament, and what it's like going now.
Yeah, there's a big difference between being a kingpin in a Division II for a number of years and then transitioning up to D1 where you're competing in a market that already includes Kentucky, Cincinnati, Xavier, even to a smaller extent, Miami, Louisville, Wright State, Dayton.
Yeah.
If you're done listing the entire state of Ohio for us, we can.
Yeah. But if Omaha wins this game, I think people are going to start to get really interested, and it's going to do a lot for their program.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stalika, you talk about Northern Kentucky. Let's talk about them on the court tonight in the Horizon League in probably the finish of the night and with a lot of good games. But how about Drew McDonald's three-pointer with a second and a half left to steal a game over against Oakland?
Well, the narrative before that was it looked like Northern Kentucky was going to choke the game away after fouling Oakland with under 10 seconds remaining. They foul, I think it was Cumberland for Oakland, who's one of the best foul shooters in the game. And he puts the Grizzlies up by two. And it seems like our colleague Zach was the only one not celebrating Drew McDonald's cold-blooded three-point shot with under 2 seconds remaining.
Yeah, knocking Greg Campy out. Amazingly, he's never made a Horizon League tournament final. His last conference tournament final surprised me. It was back when he was still in the Summit League. But
yeah,
they've been very competitive in the Horizon.
They've had some really good teams, but I guess just not in the tournament. But yeah, the story of this game, Stalica alluded to it. It was 61-50, I think, at the under four timeout, and you're like, okay, you know, they're just gonna kind of cruise to it. 13-0 run for Oakland to go ahead in with less than 20 seconds to go, which set up the game-winning shot. So NKU making it way more exciting than they
David, need. What about Wright State NKU tomorrow night now?
This is turning into one of the better under-the-radar rivalries. If you go back and look at the last four or six even that these two have played, they've all been close. They've all been down to the final minute. I think this is the matchup that most of us wanted. My only real regret is that it's in Detroit. If this game was at Wright State, and I say that because they are the better seed, the same would be true if it were NKU, it would sell out in about an hour and a half. Students would be camping out. There would be a big student lottery. It would be a spectacle, and the visiting team would have a big contingent of fans. It would be like a throwback to what the old NCAA tournament used to look like before it was 80% corporate sponsors. Instead, we're in Detroit, it's going to be in front of this really sparse crowd. And
okay, well, who's winning, though?
I'm going to go with Wright State.
Wright State. Rocco, you agree with that? Wright State?
I'm going with Wright State.
All right. Well, looks like we're all going Wright State. Maybe Sleeka wants to go on KU.
I'm going to stick with my original pick, and that would be the Norse here.
Okay, one pick for the Norse. 3-1, though, you lose. It's game's over. Yeah. Okay, congratulations, Wright State. You're in the NCAA tournament.
All right.
Let's go on to the West Coast Conference, where it was semifinal day. Gonzaga continues to roll as we expected over Pepperdine. That game needs about 3 seconds. We already mentioned the most important thing, which was Tilly's return. But we had a pretty exciting game here, David, to end the night with St. Mary's and San Diego.
Yeah, close all the way throughout. Down the stretch, St. Mary's not really getting control until the final minute of the game. So, again, it sets up probably the flagship rivalry of the conference tomorrow. But I think now it's more of a feud than a rivalry. They may not like each other, but they are not rivals.
Sleeka, any shot that St. Mary's could pull off the monster upset and beat the Zags tomorrow night and get in the NCAA tournament?
I think their only hope is that Gonzaga is just playing bored right now, but I just don't see the Gales pulling this one off tomorrow.
And if they lose, Rocco, any shot for the Gales to get an at-large bid?
Not in my book, no.
Not in my book, yeah. Well,
if Gonzaga misses the bus and shows up in the second half, they'll still win.
Yeah, they're going to complete their season of double-digit 12-point or more wins against the West Coast, that they've won every game, including the first conference tournament game, by at least 12 points. Should happen again tomorrow, I think. But that will, luckily, though, for us, after we discuss this tomorrow night, and the seven, having to look at this seven-layer burrito where we've been called a West Coast conference tournament. So thankfully, we won't have to look like anything like that anymore. And let's move on to some conferences that are starting tomorrow. Oh. And oh my God, we're doing it
more
again.
More burritos.
What is the logic behind this?
The Sun Belt kicks off tomorrow, and we got ourselves another seven-layer burrito coming, David.
Yeah, and it. And again, it's a five-round tournament. I don't know why they can't just play it in four. And it just basically – what you essentially do with this format is guarantee yourselves four games in 2 days in front of about 50 people.
Well,
I don't know why I'm fixated on the number 50 today.
A few more people maybe tomorrow night. Tuesday night's games here, the play-in games to enter the play-in round, the pre-play-in games, Arkansas State, South Alabama, Appalachian State, Louisiana Monroe, those are on campus sites. They don't move to New Orleans until Thursday. So,
okay.
I like how Chad is trying to zip through this so we can avoid the hot, hot, hot sauce for the first layer of the burrito.
All right, Sleeka, go for it. You got your first layer. Do you have an upset picks for tomorrow's two games?
I think I will go with App State because they have been a little bit tough at times on the road, but have been unable to pull off upsets like Texas State. So they should find Louisiana Monroe a little more manageable here.
I disagree. I think this Monroe team, Rocco, was a pretty good team all year that kind of got screwed by some of the tiebreakers having to fall way down to the bottom layer here.
Yeah, they were a good team most of the year. I liked them, and they had some really brutal losses throughout the Sun Belt play. I think they're a higher class team. They should get the win at home.
Who's Texas State falling from first to fourth after the last?
Again, by virtue of some of those tiebreakers, Georgia State beat Georgia Southern in the final game of the regular season there to actually get that one seed and knock Southern down to the three. Arlington sneaks in for the two. But, David, let me start with you. Who wins this whole event?
I'm going to go with Georgia State. They're going to have a hell of a battle in that semifinal game, assuming the chalk holds, though, because that Georgia State-Texas State game was fun when they played during the regular season. But I think Georgia State gets it done.
Rocco?
And who knows, maybe they'll play Kentucky and improve to – or LSU and improve to 3-0 in the SEC.
Rocco.
I have an inkling to pick the Cajuns, but they have to get through too many layers of the burrito to do it. Mm-hmm. So I am going to agree with David on Georgia State.
Slika.
I know I've picked them in the past and probably got burned for it, but I think Texas Arlington can actually pull off a pair of wins and make the NCAA tournament that they weren't able to do under Brian Cross for whatever reason.
I think that is the easier side of the bracket there too. I mean, I think you've got three teams in Louisiana, Texas State, and Georgia State all in the top half. So I do agree with you there, but I'm going to go Georgia State. I think they get by that semifinal and then win the championship there on Sunday.
We need Ron Hunter back in the tournament too.
Yeah, we do.
A couple other conferences starting play. It is quarterfinal round day in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Quarterfinals on campus sites before they move to Birmingham. You have to go to some school sites for streaming, but there is streaming video for all these games. David, Alcorn at Prairie View, Arkansas Pine Bluff at Grambling, Southern at Texas Southern, Alabama State at Jackson State. Just a quick note, Southern won at Texas Southern in the regular season finale, so a rematch.
Yeah, there, which is interesting because they didn't win much else other than that.
Right.
But Texas Southern probably, I mean, they certainly top out the highest when you look at what they did out of conference, but Prairie View by far the more dominant team all throughout conference play. The winner is not getting above the 16 line. If it's anybody other than Texas Southern, it's probably in Dayton.
I think even Texas Southern. Yeah.
They do have the win against Baylor, which is not what you normally see out of a first four team, but given how they've been playing and given how weak their quarterfinal opponent is on their home court, it's a virtual bye. I got to go with Prairie View.
I agree with you. I'm going Prairie View in this event here, and I don't really think I see any upsets tomorrow. Rocco, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to give a shout out to the Hoops HD staff for getting the television or streaming channels in here for this first round. I mean, well, I don't know anywhere else on the internet where you're going to find the right YouTube channel for Southern Texas Southern, all the school websites for the other three games. Bravo. Yeah,
certainly not the SWAC website. That was
good. Great job, guys.
Thank you.
So I will agree on Prairie View.
Okay. Slika, you agree Prairie View? Make it unanimous?
I'll give you two predictions here. Number one, I think Prairie View does win the SWAC tournament. And number two, it'll be about 2 weeks before Johnny Jones finally stops laughing after the LSU mess.
Yeah.
A little bit. Let's go from the SWAC to the complete opposite end of the NCAA. Let's go to the ACC tournament that kicks off tomorrow. A couple of afternoon games for those of you that decide not to work. The good news is we have ACC tournament action. The bad news is the games tomorrow are Miami Wake, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, and Boston College Pitt. So, David, there goes all the excitement of knowing ACC tournament was starting.
Yeah, it's hard to – Boston College is improving up to 11 this year.
So since none of us care about these three games tomorrow, Rocco, who's going to win the whole tournament? Let's talk about something a lot more interesting.
I've got a funny feeling about Florida State, but the tournament being in Charlotte, I'm going to be lame and I'm going to pick Virginia to win it.
Gonna pick Virginia to win it. Huh? I'm going to pick Carolina to win this win the ACC tournament. Actually, I know they got to get through Duke, but Duke may or may not won't be at full strength with Bolden definitely out, and then who knows? They may even be playing Florida State in the championship game. Stalika.
They might be doing a cold walk if Louisville ends up making it to the quarterfinal, but otherwise I would agree that I think it's going to be Carolina's time, and they'll probably avenge the Virginia loss that they had about midseason.
Yeah, and David, we're going to have an interesting conversation, I think, tomorrow about potential first-round or second-round upsets. But
who's opening round two.
Opening round two upsets.
Yeah. As far as the tournament goes, I'm going to go with Virginia. But to make it more interesting, I think this bracket is going to collapse. We've seen it happen before. I'm going to have Virginia over Louisville in the final.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because okay, and here's the path I think they take. I think they knock out North Carolina, which they've done before, albeit they've also lost before. And I think they beat Syracuse in the semis.
So you're thinking Duke goes down. You think Carolina and Duke both go down in the quarterfinals. That's a hell of a pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Duke not at full strength, and Syracuse has beaten them twice.
So let's go to two other conferences in action tomorrow that already started previously are back in action. It is the semifinal night in the America East. Normally, I get real excited about these semifinals, but Rocco, I'm kind of not that excited because I think they're both going to be blowouts.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Hartford-UMBC game could be interesting. You know, Hartford did step up and take care of Lowell. They won four of their last five. When they met UMBC, they actually beat them at UMBC. So that should actually be a pretty good game, in my opinion. The Binghamton performance against Stony Brook, I still am scratching my head.
Fluke.
Yeah. So who knows? They come out swinging like they did there, and if they're making a bunch of shots, who knows?
But well, you know what? We said Western Illinois wouldn't to be able to compete with North Dakota State tonight, and they almost beat them. So who knows?
It's kind, yeah.
kind of up that same alley.
Tis the season.
One more game tomorrow night here, Stalica. Back in play in a game that should be a great one in the Northeast Conference. Top two seeds at SFPA for the NCAA tournament.
These were teams that had identical records at the end of the NEC as far as the regular season goes. I still think St. Francis PA, they have a good home court advantage, but Fairleigh Dickinson does have a little bit of recent history on their side, so I'm going to take the Knights to win the conference.
You know, I picked SFPA to win this tournament at the beginning, but I may be going with you here. I thought that Fairleigh Dickinson would get upset before they reached this point, so now that they're here, why not, Rocco? Why not Fairleigh Dickinson?
Yeah, so Fairleigh Dickinson, you know, I got to cover their game in the semis, and they got a couple seniors that were freshmen when they won this tournament out of nowhere. And they actually had Marcus Towns on that team, who's now on Loyola Chicago and played in the Final Four last year. So they've got the experience to win this big game. St. Francis PA hasn't broken through. Just from being at the press conference and hearing from some of the guys, I'm going to ride the wave, even though it's on the road. Fairleigh Dickinson did win at St. Francis by 18 when they met at the beginning of the conference season. So I'm going to be with Stilico on this one. Take the Knights.
We're going Knights. David, aside from conference tournaments, we got what else we have to discuss here? Oh, survival board.
Yeah, the survival board.
Well, there it is. There's our survival board. If you look right up there on the website, you see both the conference tournament tabs as well as our survival board. And if you look at this, this is a tool that we created for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we created this for the committee. It was done to help them. There's our buddy Brian there, like sporting. What he's been doing.
This is great to talk about.
Yeah, we should have mentioned this before tonight because he's been doing it really, I think, since before even the conference tournament started. 350 jerseys for Hope. He's trying to get jerseys from all the schools, and as they get knocked off the survival board, he's been taking the selfies and tweeting them out. So good job. And this is for charity, by the way. It's to raise money for
awareness for epilepsy. Yes.
Epilepsy. Yeah. So we've been
retweeting them. So yeah, great job by Brian. So big shout out to him. Good friend of the show here too. And but if we look at the survival board here going into the day, for example, though, we saw that let's say, for example, what conferences were playing today. I don't remember. The Colonial, there were four teams alive, but they were all in normal type. So those teams can only get in through an automatic bid.
We basically have four categories here. The auto bids, which are bold in all caps.
Like Gardner-Webb right there.
Yeah. The locks, which are just the bold teams. That means that even if they lose their next tournament game they're in, those that are in italics need to be considered, and those that are in normal type, they need to win the auto bids or they're out. So, Yeah.
And if you see up here, heading into the night tonight, we had 239 teams alive and 34 out of 68. Look at this number here. 34 yeah. teams were either locked in or had clinched a automatic bid. That means that there are only 34 teams spots left in the field to even be determined the rest of the way. 239 teams total. But as a result of tonight's games, down to 226 and 35 yeah. bids have been now clinched.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so I didn't realize we had the bid counter on there now. Yeah,
and six bids of those are going to be of the auto bid quantity.
Yeah, yep, but we had tonight, we saw Iona clinching. Wofford had already been locked in, so their winning did not actually fill up another spot and locked into the field. But if you look, for example, down here in the Horizon League, there's a mistake, so ignore that one. We've got to fix that. But if we look at the Metro Atlantic, there's Iona has – is the last team left.
Yeah, we need to get that mistake fixed because it's going to confuse the committee. Yeah,
we'll get the Horizon League fixed by the time anybody takes a look at this website. After
no, what's happening is they have to go to the booth to see whether or not NKU or Oakland comes off the board.
But on that note, David, we've also been doing one other thing on these shows here. We have been trying to fix college basketball's problems.
Yes.
And we've been communicating with some of the most famous people out there who can get problems solved.
It's been kind of a disappointing outreach. You know, we come up with these legitimate problems. You know, last night we talked about the price of admission at the NCAA tournament. Well,
David, we have a big problem, and it was because of what happened tonight. We led off the show talking about Savannah State.
Yes.
And this is a complete travesty that they are not Division I anymore.
Yeah, it is, yes.
And we need to fix this. We need to keep them in Division I.
Right, yeah, we do. Because they don't, yeah.
So tonight we're going to reach, I'm reaching out to somebody who could really get things done.
Good, good. All right.
He's a complete legend, 1980s, from the 1980s, lead singer of Twisted Sister, Dee Snider himself.
Wait a minute, Chad, you're tweeting to Dee Snider.
Yes. Hi, Dee Snider.
What would you like Dee Snider to do? Like, what
would that make no logical sense? Savannah State is dropping its athletics programs down to Division II. This is a complete travesty. Can you please stop this from happening? Thank you.
We're not going to take it anymore.
Chad. There you go. Dee Snider, we're not going to take it anymore.
Chad, I seriously doubt Dee Snider is going to do anything.
He can fix everything. He's not going to take it. He's not going to take Savannah State moving down. On that note, let me move to any final thoughts. Slinka, let me start with you.
I don't know how you transition from that, but one of the more, baffling resignations recently, and that was Bob Hoffman over at Mercer. You may recall, I think this was about 5 years ago, where Mercer actually won the Atlantic Sun, upset Florida Gulf Coast, and then knocked out Duke in the first round. So while we're sad to see Hoffman go, certainly some good memories down in Macon.
Yeah, we
what
are.
What the hell were they thinking?
Oh, man.
Rocco.
That was a tough one to swallow.
Yeah.
So going back to the team of the people, Savannah State, they did have a season to remember on their way out because they did some incredible things in terms of statistics. They're number one in the nation in average possession length, the shortest team to per shot clock. They shoot the ball every 14.0 seconds. They shot 57.7% of their field goal attempts were three-pointers, including tonight where they shot 35 threes and only 31 twos. And they also, of course, were number three in tempo, which they've been doing for a few years now. So this team, even though they're leaving, they left and left their mark.
They did leave their mark. David, you want to finish out the show?
Just again, it's late. I had no final thought. I just don't think Dee Snider is going to help us.
He's not going to take it anymore. And I'm not going to take it anymore, so we're out of here. On behalf of John Stalica, Rocco Miller, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll talk to you again real soon.